open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. We are talking about invisibility because it's actually on the horizon. If you could say something like invisibility is on the horizon. It really is. They've already made a thing invisible to microwaves. And so it's just a matter of moving into the light spectrum. And they're really saying the chance of adapting the concept to visible light is good. Cloak designer David Schrigg said in a telephone interview that, well, from an engineering point of view, quoting him, it's very challenging, but nonetheless, it's on the horizon. Can you imagine being invisible? What would that do to our economy? What would that do virtually to all of life? Something to think about. What would you do if you were invisible? I'm not. I'm Art Bell. Good evening, I'm Art Bell, filling in for George Norrie, who has a well-deserved, well-earned night off, and then it makes a good three-day weekend for him. I'll be here, of course, on my normal Saturday and Sunday. Going just a little north of where I am right now on the international line to South Korea. Alan, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you doing today?
Just spiffy.
How do you like your new working hours?
They are a bit different, but the way I arrange it, Alan, is we've got nice mini blinds and curtains, and I darken it down in here, and you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah. I was wondering what JC looked like. You know, when I hear him, I picture, remember the late Michael Jeter?
There's some things, Alan, that you don't want to know. That might be one
of them. So I saw your name in a test. Garrison's book.
I heard that Tess had a new book out, and that she had mentioned me in her book. In what context did she mention me?
The Art Bell Show. What it is there's a gruesome murder, and there's can I say a little bit?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Decapitation, and Gene Risno is saying the person was probably conscious for about a minute or two after they were decapitated.
Oh, God.
The other person, where did you hear that? She goes, well, I was listening on the Art Bell Show and blah, 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 like that.
I'm a real Tess Gerritsen fan. She wrote a book called Gravity.
Oh, turn me on to her, yeah.
You've read Gravity?
Oh, I loved Gravity.
I was so blown away by that book. Any of you who have not yet read Gravity, you absolutely have got to read it. It's one of the best science fiction reality / really cool, keep you on the edge of your seat kind of books you've ever read. Hey, listen, since you're in South Korea, how was the reaction there when they lit one off in the north?
Initially, everybody kind of spazzed out initially, but then the Koreans, surprisingly, it's like business as usual. And
actually, around the world, it's pretty much that way. I expected a much bigger U.S. reaction, but everybody seems like they're going to let it slide.
That's the way, you know, really, it's just like you could not even tell that anything happened over here, you know. And this morning, I'm reading the Korean Herald, and the party that's in power right now is the Yuri Party. And they're very liberal, very ultra-liberal. Mm-hmm. And they sent an envoy up to North Korea and say, well, we have some businesses we're doing with you, and that's not going to change because you guys are actually pretty good guys. You know, we trust you. And I'm reading this. I'm going, God, Lord, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, I'd have the same reaction. You got to be kidding. I note that today he has said, I'm sorry. And I thought, you know, when it comes to nuclear detonation, sorry just doesn't get it.
I think he's sorry that it was a fizzle. That's what I think.
Well,
you got to keep in mind, like they said, it was half a kiloton. Well, that's 500 pounds. We have conventional 500-pound bombs. A 500-pound bomb would probably take out a good portion of a Walmart, but that's about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if that was actually 500 pounds or it might have been. I know it wasn't what they expected, although it did produce what? A 4.2 as measured in Florida. So that sounds like more than 500 pounds.
Yeah, it could be. With authors, what are you reading lately?
I'm reading a book called Altered Carbon right now. I read an awful lot of science fiction.
A friend of mine read that, where you can upload your consciousness.
That's exactly correct.
Yes, he was raving about it.
They talk about sleeves. Instead of bodies being called bodies, they're called sleeves. In other words, something you just wear for a short time. And nobody ever really dies. There's a little chip implanted. And when you die, they just dig it out and you're put into a new sleeve. And of course, you can change from male to female. It doesn't matter. It's a very interesting book. But I'm always reading something. I'm an avid reader.
Same here. If I could be invisible,
yes.
I think I'd probably go up north and do a Dexter, if you have seen that Showtime TV series yet.
No, I haven't. Meaning?
Oh, okay. Dexter is a Showtime series. He's a cop, but he's also a serial killer. But the hook is, he only kills the people that really deserve it. So he only kills bad guys.
Uh-huh. So he does what the courts are unable to accomplish.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Well, thank you, and take care, and good night.
Yes, good night indeed from South Korea, just a bit north here. Let's go to Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and Greg. Hello, Greg.
Good morning, Art. This is
good morning.
Greg. I'm calling you from Cape Cod. I'm sitting on my deck enjoying your show and the most absolute spectacular meteor shower I've ever seen.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they're just coming every three or four every few seconds. It's unbelievable. I did have a comment on the invisibility thing, but I was hoping I'd get on with JC. Like that other guy, I loved his, you know, his JC stood for just crazy. I was going to throw one in and say JC stood for, you know, jilted communist, but because he's so anti-American.
I don't think we're going to ever get past lesbian Tupperware parties, but that's just me.
That was funny. Oh, and we know he's listening right now, right?
Of course.
So I could tell him that don't judge lest ye be judged, and he'll be punished seven times for it, right?
Well, that'll get him dialing.
Okay, my invisibility thing was, I'm with you, I have to admit, and he'll love that. I'd have to go into a Playboy shoot for one of my things on my list, and the other one would be sneak into Wall Street to get the tips to make the really big money and stuff like that.
The implication of that being that I guess that all the people who make the big money at Wall Street have insider information. I've always wondered a lot about that. And also what really constitutes inside information? In other words, inside information is a tip, right? It's a tip that a stock is going to do something good. Well, I guess the difference between a legal bit of inside information and an illegal bit of inside information is simply how good the tip is. That's something to think about. In Los Angeles, Jim, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I started off wanting to follow up on something I told you about a couple of months ago, but given other events of the evening, I think I should... If one had the chance to be invisible, I think it's very likely that most of the really cool stuff has already been painted with or covered by the same invisibility creating substance. So that would kind of, I got to look, set the sights a little bit lower, and I think I might just have to visit one of those lesbian Tupperware parties. I mean, I'm a red-blooded American guy. And I'm not going to be invited to one, so...
No. No, so you'll have to forever wonder or become invisible and actually visit one.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, actually becoming invisible? For example, I guess you would be able to see nothing of yourself. Somebody suggested you wouldn't have vision. You wouldn't be able to see, but I don't think that's true, I think you would be able to see. You would simply be invisible to everybody else.
I'm not sure quite how that would work. But I guess another element of that is if you do have the ability to manipulate what is seen to make it invisible, then presumably it wouldn't be long before you could, a company's going to market a suit that you could wear that might make you look 20 pounds lighter. And I suspect that would be a pretty good moneymaker.
Now, I hadn't considered that aspect of it, but people who are really fat or really skinny or really short or really ugly, well, it would certainly even us all out, wouldn't it, invisibility?
It could. And, I guess another element of that would be, if you live in the city and you just went out and bought a nice car and you're a little worried about it, disappearing, broken windows, that kind of thing. Well, mm-hmm. Dress it up, or more to the point, dress it down.
Dress it down.
Like a 77 Impala with, five shades of rust.
There you go. Can you imagine how much fun you could have with invisibility on Halloween?
It's a good one.
Oh, man, you could just scare the... Anyway.
But, that's another LA element. Halloween is kind of a year-round event.
Yeah, that's very true. But can you imagine on Halloween how much fun you could have, with the little tykes that would come to your door? Oh, my God, you could have a blast. Having things move through the air, that sort of thing, maybe an axe. I guess in this day and age, you'd never get away with that, would you? East of the Rockies, you are on the air.
Mr. Bell.
Mr. Bell, indeed.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. This is Remo from calling in West Virginia at the bottom of a coal mine.
At the bottom of a coal? Really?
Yes.
You're actually at the bottom of a coal mine?
Yeah, it's an abandoned coal mine, and we cleaned it up, walled it in, and I live down here.
You live in a coal mine? And you have a phone line down there?
Yes, we have everything down here. Water, electricity, gas, the whole nine yards.
I'm curious, what motivated you to move into a coal mine?
To get away from the outside world.
Well, I guess, let me rephrase. Are you worried about some natural or unnatural disaster which you would live through being down there?
Well, I feel I'm safer here in case of a unnatural disaster.
Hmm. That's true. Do you have your entire family down there, or are you by yourself?
There's just my wife and myself. My children are grown. After they left home, we bought the...
How do you present that idea to, hey, hon, how about moving down into a coal mine? I mean, how do you put that to your wife?
Well, actually, she was very open to the idea. She's a wonderful person. I'm sure you're familiar with women who understand how men feel, and it just seemed like the right thing to do.
I wonder if any woman really understands how a man feels, or if any man really understands how a woman feels. There's degrees of understanding, but we are such different creatures, men and women. Nevertheless, your wife, would you say she went along with it, or that it was your idea, right?
It was my idea, and she went along with it. Fortunately, she's a wonderful person and accepts me and my ideas and doesn't ask a lot of questions. She just goes along.
Be a safe place to have a lesbian Tupperware party.
Oh, my God, I wish I could. Let's invite them all down here.
All right. Let's see. Do you have different rooms, or is it just like one sort of long?
It's very. How can I explain this? Yes, there are different rooms. It's all split off, and you come down the main corridor, and it's only about 250 feet down the main corridor, and then it splits off into three different sections, and there are two chambers in each of the three different sections. We have plumbing and electricity. It's we live in the real world, right up here with the rest of the folks, but we're down below.
Well, I don't know. Now, how far below ground is it?
Just under 200 feet.
200 feet.
Just under 200 feet. It's 197, 196. Depends on who did the survey.
My God. What's the temperature? Is it a very constant temperature?
It stays about 74, 75 degrees year-round.
Wow.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I have never talked to... I've talked to a person who lived in a missile silo, but you're the first coal mine.
A missile silo. I would, if you know someone who wants to trade... I'd swap right now.
You're a coal mine for a missile silo. All right, well, it's out in the air. You never know.
But the main reason I called you was about shadow people. We see them down here all the time.
Oh?
And I wanted to ask if your listeners had anything, any information, or if you did, why is it that all of the shadow people that we see wear hats?
Oh, that's not unusual at all.
No, it's not, and that's what I don't understand. Why are they always wearing hats?
I truly don't know the answer to that. All I know is that you're absolutely correct. And one night, we had an expert on, a Native American expert, and we talked about shadow people, and we had people actually draw and submit sketches of what they had seen. And I would say in about 85 or 90% of the cases, they were wearing hats. Now, I'll just sort of leave that question open for the audience. What do you think, folks? Why do you think shadow people, I mean, after all, out here in the real world, how many people wear hats? Not that many. 85, 90% of the shadow people do. And there is one definitive difference between wherever they are and here. So I don't have the answer to that, but it's in the air now. A wild card line, you're on the air. Dan in California.
Hello, Art. How you doing?
Just great, sir.
That's great. I've listened to you since, 91, I think.
Gosh, I wish people would stop saying that. I listened to you since I've been a baby.
Hey, and every show has been so interesting. I mean, it's kept me up half the night for years. But I had a question about, I think his name was Oates. He had reverse speech. The guy used to...
Yes.
Did he? I've never heard anything about him. He just seemed to disappear.
He did. Last I heard, he was in Australia.
Was that all? Was that a fact? His reverse speech experiments?
You know, I was never able to really determine what I felt about reverse speech. Whether I felt it had a lot of validity. Some validity, or none at all. I just, I never really came to an absolute conclusion about it.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. With the cloak of invisibility, I think, they already took care of bin Laden, but the North Korean dictator, I'd like to haunt him for a while, maybe pull the rug out from under him a couple times, or maybe
he's already over the edge and paranoid enough right now. So I think if you were to start in on him, there's just no telling what he might do. He might, for example, push a button somewhere just to get rid of what he thought was a ghost.
That's true. That's true. Does it concern you being so close to the area where he's located?
Well, we're not that close. Listen, I've got a scoot. Thank you very much for the call. Does it concern me? No, because I think that the Philippines would not be a prime target should he decide to use one of those nasty weapons that he has now developed. Philippines would not be a prime target. But I'll tell you, when the earthquake started last night, you know, I thought for just a moment, could it be? From Manila, I'm Art Bell. Top of the day, top of the night, whatever it may be, wherever you are. Della in Bullhead City, Arizona says, hey, Art, don't you find it interesting that everybody's invisible priorities concern sex and money? Not really, Della. After all, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between the invisible world, or what people would do in it, versus the visible world. Those Those are the important things. Gary from Montreal, Quebec, echoes what many of you have said regarding hats and shadow people. He says, I believe that shadow people are always seen in hats. It's because, well, it's because many people have signs in their windows that say big discount on hats for shadow people. I've read the wrong one. No, most are saying that it's a time slip, and people from 1700 through perhaps the 1960s wore hats. And we are seeing a time slip. Let's go all the way to London, England, and say, hello there, Deborah, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. I just want to say thank you. Because of my childhood and the story I'm about to tell you, you present a forum that feeds my curiosity, interest, and wonder.
Well, you're obviously, probably, I shouldn't say obviously, you sound like an American in Great Britain. What are you doing there?
I fell in love. I was born in Charleston, South Carolina, lived in New York where I modeled for 5 years, and I've been in England for 7. And I've got a beautiful little boy.
Do for love.
Border Collie, I got the whole English thing. I've even already had my tea this morning.
My goodness. What time is it in England right now?
We've got 20 to 10.
20 to 10 in the morning?
And you are what time?
About 20 to 5 in the afternoon.
Heavens. I presume you've adjusted well.
Yeah, I have. It's a big world. Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
In any event, yeah, well, grew up in Charleston, and my family lived in a house. Actually, Mr. Zaffis, John Zaffis, has helped my family with this, because basically my dad died in January, and things started to happen again. Basically, his dentures went missing before they were able to be put into his mouth so he could be buried with them. And a couple of days after tearing the house apart, they showed up in the middle of the hallway, just out of the blue. And also he put a rose, well, we are pretty absolute certain it was him that put a rose on a mirror that had just been cleaned. You know, it was like a perfect single-stem budding rose. And I personally, here in London, I felt him basically wrap his arms around me, and I've had dreams and things. In any event, he was plagued throughout his life. He grew up in a house in Charleston, and it was built in the 1900s. You know, Charleston's incredibly historical, and lots of...
Oh, Charleston is when you walk down the streets of Charleston, it's almost as though you're in another time.
Yeah, it's changing now. It's developing greatly, but at the time, the house that they moved into was very shack-like. Because it was close to the Eliza Lucas plantation, and it probably was once upon a time slave quarters. In any event, my grandmother got a loan, and she built it up with bricks on the outside and made it nice and raised her family there. But there was a cupboard in this place that was incredibly eerie. My mother, she once stood in it, and she literally says that she felt, and the look on her face when she tells the story is quite convincing, that she felt these things just wrapping around her and like rushing past her. And my Uncle David, when he was younger, he had put a microphone in the closet. They were trying to get an EVP all the way back then. This is like, you know, in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And they said that they heard something scratching, and something sounded like something being dropped and knocking and things like that. But this microphone was on a stand in the middle of this room, nothing, you know, able to touch it. And there were no rats or mice or anything like that. But the house started off, as I said, as a shack. And the woman who had lived there prior to had shot herself in a bedroom, and the bullet hole was still there along with the blood on the floor. A woman prior to her had killed her husband and dragged his body to the railroad tracks, which were not very far. And my granddad shot himself in the chest. All this was in the same bedroom. And I remember as a child growing up and seeing the bullet hole in the window. My sister was taking some photos for me because I've always been fascinated by the house. We had some wonderful times there, though we had some really creepy things happen as well. Very demonic things, like my grandmother and granddad, the man that she married after my granddad committed suicide, she would be held down in bed or feel things touching her, you know. And I know you have not a soft spot, but particular interest or understanding for people who have been attacked by an incubus or something like that.
Yes.
And that actually happened to my dad, of which he said, you know, he was struggling as hard as he could and envisioned light and prayed. And he could, as he says, he could hear the hounds of hell, and that something said to him that it was going to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. my grandmother had 10 pregnancies, 9 of which actually survived. I saw my sister, Darlene, killed, run over by a school bus when she was 6.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Not blood related, meaning that I have a different dad. So I tell you what, I'm actually very grateful for that, because there's a curse on that family. My aunt.
Well, I was about to say that anyway. Listen, I've got to run, hon. But that sounds like a curse. It really does sound like a curse. And I'm not sure, at all sure, that I would want to live in a house of that sort where that much had occurred in one bedroom. I don't think so. And it reminds me of a couple of things. One is that I am going to be doing Ghost to Ghost on Halloween. And I do particularly enjoy stories of entity attacks. So if you have one of those type stories, get it ready. Rehearse it. Remember it. And I'm not suggesting I'm telling you, don't make anything up. But there's nothing wrong with kind of rehearsing the way you're going to tell it. It's a little easier when you get on the air. So get your stories ready. When we do Ghost to Ghost, we do a very, very serious program. I do believe in ghosts. I do believe that spirits linger. I don't know why. I think that EVP, and by the way, we're going to be doing an EVP show pretty soon. I've been getting a lot of email about that. So we're going to be doing another EVP show. They're actually going to get the EVP CDs over here by FedEx, which is probably the most reliable way to get something here to the Philippines. And we're going to do that show shortly. And by the way, if you want to reach me, I have email. I'm artbell@mindspring.com. That's ArtBell at Mindspring, MindSpring, Mindspring.com. And I would love to get email from you if you have a really good, relatively short ghost story. You might begin submitting those, and I'll, of course, read some of them during Ghost to Ghost. First-time caller line, Susan, you're on the air from California.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Just fine.
Good. I hate to ruin the invisibility theory about sex and money, which are both great, but where I would like to go first is to the Vatican and into the archives.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'd like to read whatever I can get my hands on. And then I'd like to, the next route I think would be the Dalai Lama, and I would want to know if he noticed that I was there even though I was invisible.
I'm curious, how much do you think really is hidden in the Vatican?
Oh, I think there's so much. I think they've pillaged so much of the esoteric knowledge and kept it to themselves. I think they have a handle on a lot, you know, of what's going on currently. I think that's why they have their own observatory, you know, and they're looking into the heavens for something.
I could not agree more. There's obviously something going on with Mount Graham, and they know something's out there, or they know something's coming. They know something, or they would not have pushed their way past every environmental objection, and there were many, to get that observatory there. And
exactly.
Believe me, they applied some pressure.
Right, and I believe that they know a lot more than just what's coming. You know, I think they know a lot about the past that we've been, that's been kept from us, you know, as human beings, for whatever reason. I would just love to go there and look at the old manuscripts and be able to understand what they say, because I think that they've got probably most of the information that would really unlock a lot of keys. I think there's, as my Nana would say, something in the woodpile.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Dalai Lama, and then the Third Mesa. That's where the Hopi Third Mesa. That's where I'd like to go, and just listen and be the fly on the wall. That for me would be like it.
What kind of impact do you think invisibility would have on the world? I mean, everybody would get paranoid that they're not alone.
Well, I personally think that most of the planet is paranoid anyway. Invisibility, you know, it's kind of like I once have been, well, actually more than once, because my friend owned it, to a nudist colony, and just being naked strips you of so much of the defenses that we have. So I don't know if it might not be a similar feeling of, you know, if we're all invisible, it certainly reduces us to a common denominator.
It certainly would, and you're certainly right. Also, by the way, about and nudist colonies or nude areas. I went to a nude beach once, and the novelty wears off quite quickly. And I think a lot of people, when they think of nude this or nude that, they attach some sort of sexuality to it, and that's really not the case. I mean, after perhaps in the first few minutes, you know, you're titillated a little bit, but then with everybody being naked, if anything, it's kind of a killer in my estimation for sexuality. I guess that has to do with well, that's a whole nother topic and a whole nother show. Let's go to Canada. We don't have a lot of time. Linda in Canada, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Art, I've got to tell you this. Your open line tonight, you know, you're the captain of this, of your helm. Believe me, it's great.
Well, it's great to be doing it. Thank you.
First of all, I want to know, is JC part of the New World Order that's coming?
You know, that I have yet to ask JC whether what he thinks about the New World Order.
That'd be
he probably imagines himself right at the very head of it.
I was wondering. Also, on, you know, invisibility, mm-hmm. I cannot help feel that this new way is the prelude to time travel.
I believe that
with this, they can come, I don't know how far, into the future and to the past.
I'm starting to wonder if there's really anything at all that we can imagine that we cannot do. I mean, almost everything that we've heard about in science fiction, now here comes invisibility. Everything we've heard about that we always thought was laughable or interesting and science fiction is beginning to come true.
Well, Art, I believe that I've been here before, and I feel what I'm doing, and I know you've been here before. The way you speak, the what you know, and your mastering way you speak with people, and what you and the things that you just lead into so naturally. I think that, well, I have two copies again of Edgar Casey's Atlantis in my mm-hmm. possession. I read it years ago, but now all of a sudden two come into my possession. I thought, is this a sign? And then when you had that guest on the weekend, that he said a couple of generations ahead he had this vision or knowledge that millions were going to be terribly abolished. Do you remember that guest?
Demolished, perhaps, yes.
Okay, demolished. And I thought, are we doing this all over again? I know that, like, this invisibility again hit a chord in me. I thought, okay, now we're going into the upper echelons of the technology that is going to overwhelm people, and are we going to handle it right?
I think, hon, that we do things again and again. I think that if you look at what's going on in the world right now, and I know everybody hates the parallels to Vietnam, but frankly, more and more and more as the months and now years go by, what's happening in Iraq really does seem very much like Vietnam, the latest being the Iraqization of the war, turning more and more of the work over to the newly trained Iraqis. The whole thing feels, the world, not just that, and that's just one example. I think we're doing things again and again. Have we been here before? Well, probably, because we keep doing things over and over and over again, don't we? All right, let's go to California, and Beatrice, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hello. If I were invisible, I would first spy on the Illuminati and Black Ops, see what they're up to. And then the second thing I would do is I would follow and scare JC. Whenever he was about to do something wrong or tell somebody off, I'd say out of nowhere, do you really want to do that? Or shame on you.
You know, in just the voice that you have right now, dear, all you'd have to do, here's what you do. You'd find JC, which wouldn't be that hard. In fact, I'd help you if I could. And you would take several pieces of Tupperware and simply float them around the room in JC's area. I think that'd do it. He'd just go right off the edge. And that laugh, too. You'd have to bring that laugh.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. But I wanted to point out that, in a sense, we already have invisibility with people who practice astral projection and remote viewing and things like that.
That may well be so. But the difference here is... that, you know, with astral projection, you can't seem to do any material things. That's with the kind of invisibility they're talking about here, you know, you could take the piece of Tupperware and float it by JC's nose.
Yes, that's right.
That would be the difference.
Yes, okay.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, and you have a good night. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to point a couple things out. I'm a... physics student at the University of Central Florida.
Yes.
And I wanted to point out a couple things about your invisibility, which is...
it's not my invisibility.
I'm sorry?
It's not my invisibility. I'm reading a story here on the scientists that are doing this.
Well, the current invisibility that we have, which is it can make you invisible to things like radar, visible light, microwave, and these are all forms of energy. However, though, it does not get you around your physical properties, which are things like, believe it or not, each and every one of us has a small gravimetric field which can be detected. It's very, very difficult to do it on something as small as a human, but it can be done. I mean, obviously, it's a lot easier on planets and such. The other thing is any time that a physical entity moves through any kind of body, whether it's a body of water, a body of gas, or whatever, it leaves a wake. And an example of this is if you've ever stood on the side of the road and had a big rig go by and you get that blast of air.
Sure.
And, you know, of course, the other thing is just simply by being comprised of matter and energy, we actually make a small dent in the space-time continuum, which... once again, something as small as a human is extremely difficult to detect, but, you know...
I understand, Troy, the difficulty of all this, but it seems as though what is impossible today inevitably and almost absolutely becomes possible tomorrow or the day after.
Oh, you're absolutely right. In fact, you know, I was thinking about what would I do if I could be invisible? My answer is... I'd go into the government vaults and find out what we really know, because I have a feeling that we've probably got technology already developed that's about that we're not going to see for 20 or 25 years.
All right, Troy, I've got to end it right there. Listen, everybody, this has been a blast. I'm Art Bell, and I have very much enjoyed filling in for George Norrie, and I'll be back tomorrow as well as the next day for the usual weekend fare. It's going to be a good weekend. So from Manila in the Philippines, Southeast Asia, you all have a good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. From Manila, good night.